high time now for our tune of the week.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, Lilo, very excited to have you on and looking forward to hearing all things about you within the music industry.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
So I know you grew up in Seattle. You come from a musical background, musical family. Tell us more about yourself and what it was like growing up in Seattle and the music space.
Let's see. Yeah. So growing up in Seattle was definitely very, it was a special childhood. You know, it's so amazing and lush and green up there. There's obviously a lot of rain, but my mom's a pianist. So she's really the musician of the household that, you know, pushed us all into music. And so me and my older brothers were taking piano lessons from a very young age. And then when I was like 7 years old, she put me in the Seattle Girls Choir, which was probably the most formative musical environment I was a part of. It really like taught me so much and allowed me to develop my ear and like my ability to sing in harmony with other people. And then, you know, as I got older, I started, you know, my older brother started playing jazz and I was like really fascinated by that. I wanted to be just like him and play jazz and stuff. And so when I was in high school, I started to sing jazz and play jazz piano. And then it just kind of came naturally that I, you know, when I was going to go to college, my parents had already kind of done the music school audition process with my older brothers. So they were familiar with it. So I just kind of decided that I was going to go to jazz school. And that's what I did. That's how I ended up at USC.
Cool. Well, fine on. And your journey from Seattle to LA, what was that experience like? Were you familiar with the LA music scene or were you kind of getting acquainted with it and especially pursuing jazz?
Totally. Yeah. I wasn't familiar with the LA music scene at all when I went. And it was very different. LA is very different than Seattle. Well, where are you from?
Los Angeles, the suburbs.
You're from LA. So you've known about this place. But when I showed up, it's very different than Seattle. The vibes are very different. Like obviously everybody moves here to become like a YouTuber or a superstar or to make their big break. So I luckily, you know, my introduction to LA was first in college. So I think that kind of was a nice transition for me. And I chose USC because they gave me the most money. My parents were like, you're going to go where, you know, it's the cheapest to go. So that's what I did. And also it was like close enough to home. Mm-hmm. Like my other option was the University of Miami, which was so far away from Seattle.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to stay West Coast. And I feel really grateful to my past self for making, and to my parents, obviously, for making the choice to move here in LA, like to LA during college, because I see so many people now who move to LA after college and they have to like start over and they have to like a network sort of from nothing. But when you move with USC, you're just an 18-year-old kid, you move here and you enter into USC, you start meeting all these people, you're in that environment, you start making music with people, so that by the time I graduated, I was kind of able to just hit the ground running and start playing gigs and kind of knew the city a little bit. So yeah, and then you asked about jazz. You know, jazz school was amazing. Jazz school taught me so much because it's such a, you know, complicated form of music. So it really, like, you have to know a lot of stuff to be able to like play jazz. And so I'm really grateful to my jazz education for that. I'm not trying to be a jazz singer, you know. I play jazz gigs when I'm called for them, and I love jazz so much. I love listening, but I'm more, you know, let my jazz education and my jazz background sort of influence the music that I write, which is very much, you know, not jazz, but has little hints of it in some places. So yeah.
And I know you're a gigging artist. You performed at numerous iconic venues in LA. Tell us a little bit more about some of those monumental experiences, any major highlights, especially I know you've always almost done kind of like a residency at the Melrose Trading Post. You're always there performing.
I know. I really love the Melrose Trading Post because it's just nice. It's like there's a built-in audience, so and the people really appreciate music there. It's always a lot of young people who are out, you know, or like families. Honestly, not just young people, like people of all ages, but just a
Sure.
really nice gig. They promote you really well. You're up on a stage, but it's like low pressure. I love Melrose, and there's always like the first time I played there, you know, Kehlani, you know who that is?
Yes.
She happened to be at Melrose the first time I
Oh,
played
wow.
there.
Okay.
I ever played there, and she like posted me on her story and came up afterwards. You're so good. So, you know, I love places like that because you always, it's, I mean, it's LA, and that's a really a hot spot in LA, so that's fun to play there. But, you know, let's see, one of the highlights. Well, this gig was pretty stupid, actually, but it was New Year's Day 2023, and I was playing. It was pouring rain that day. It was like that really, really rainy year last year. And I was playing at Westfield Mall in Century City, just sort of like, it's like kind of background music, kind of not background. Like people are listening, but people come and go, you know, and that's when the lady heard me who put me on The Voice. Like this woman was happened to be in the mall that day, and she was like, you know, she heard me and she was like, I have an opportunity I think would be really good for you. And that's how I got on the show. So that was definitely a highlight. That's definitely like representative of gigging in LA because you just never know. The city is crawling with people in the industry and in other industries. You just never know who's watching you perform. You never know who's listening and who they know or who they're connected to or like what opportunities they're going to give
For
you. So
sure.
I really love LA for that reason.
Yeah, there's so many different opportunities, so many different venues. Every venue has some sort of, I feel like it's kind of like a treasure hunt in a way, sort of like an experience that you always get, and it's live, so it changes and for the artist, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And tell us a little bit more about, I know you were on The Voice, just we're in the top five, which is a huge accolade. And you have
Thank you.
mentors like John Legend, Gwen Stefani, Blake Shelton, Reba. Tell us what it was like to have some of those like A-list mentors.
Oh my God, it was huge. I mean, it's like, yeah, having, I mean, I most closely worked with John Legend. We really got to know each other well, and he really like understood me from the very beginning out. And that's why I chose him because all four judges turned around, but I knew that, and I think everybody thought I was gonna go with Niall Horan, who's like the singer-songwriter type guy, but I had to go with John because he's just like he's a huge celebrity, but he's also a musician, like to his core. He writes his songs, he can perform, like he can, and I think he's on tour right now. It's just him and a piano. There's no band. He's the real deal, and that's like what I'm trying to be, you know? So I saw that in him, and as the show went on, I was so grateful to my past self for making that decision because I think I would have been fine on anybody's team, but John Legend really like understood what I was doing. Everybody was like impressed by me, but John like was like, "Oh yeah, I see that chick. She's like a musician. She's trying to be like a legit artist. She's not just trying to be like a big pop star or something like that. She's like she walks the walk and talks the talk." So working with John, he's so, man, he's so real, which is so, I feel like, rare. Or like, I guess you never know with like celebrities of that status. You just don't know if they're gonna be like just kind of like put on for the camera. But there were so many interactions we had that were not filmed where he was just so legit and so real, and we're still in touch. So I feel really grateful for his mentorship throughout that really wild experience.
And what were some of the lessons that you learned along the way that you took from him and others that kind of transfer? I know you just recently released a new single, All I Expected, which was debuted while you were on The Voice. So tell us a little bit more about those like tokens that you learned along the way that kind of transferred to your work and even your upcoming songwriting process.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing that I learned from John, honestly, was that was specific to the show, the context of the show, but really has carried outside of that context as well. And he said, you know, just like you be the best version of yourself and you'll be just fine. You know, he's saying that in the context of a singing competition, but it really rings true in every other aspect of my life because in an industry and in a city where that is so concentrated with people trying to like quote unquote make it, it's really easy. And also with the rise of social media, it's really, really easy to just compare yourself to other people nonstop and try to like be like them or try to do what they're doing. And I think that's when you get into trouble. And so John was always like, don't try to outbelt anybody. Don't try to outsing anybody. You are in your own lane. You just be the best for yourself and you're going to go to the end of this competition. And that's what I did. So yeah. I think that's a really, really important piece of advice to remember, that if you're just genuine to who you are, and it sounds cliche, but it's like cliches are cliches for a reason. If you really are just genuine to who you are and really tap into like your higher self, people will feel that. Nobody wants any like fakers or like imitators or anything like that. They've heard it all before. So it's like, just be the best version of you and your dreams will come true, you know?
Yeah, I agree. To stay in your own lane and not compare yourself to others, but also be open-minded about getting and soaking in those core mentorship values, which you've taken along the way. And you've also like done covers of like legendary artists, which has put you in your own lane as well, like Joni Mitchell, the Beatles, very iconic and memorable artists.
Yeah, totally. I was also so grateful to that show, because you hear like horror stories, you know, they wanted me to do this, do that. Man, they loved me exactly for who I was. I went in there and I was just myself, and they didn't try to make me dress in a different way or sing different songs. They just like totally got me. I mean, I got to sing like Blind Faith, Roberta Flack, James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt, John Prine, the Beatles, the Indigo Girls, they just gave me all the best. And honestly, thinking back, I didn't sing any songs on that show that were written like this century, but that's kind of my thing, is that I'm kind of like an old school, and they were just down. They were like, yeah, you do you, girl.
Yeah, it's definitely in that really cool and niche lane. A lot of artists that we've seen on The Voice, they're very pop oriented, do covers of big iconic pop artists, even some that even are judges themselves. They'll perform covers of their work. Great to see somebody else in their own lane like yourself carving that path for others and being a pioneer and kind of a entrepreneur at spirit.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you have any upcoming goals in the works?
I'm so glad that you asked. So I recorded an album last year, right before I got on the show. I had like recorded an album. I had done a Kickstarter and raised all the money myself to do this album, because I really wanted to do it like the right way. I wanted it to be in the studio, like live. Everybody's listening to each other. Everybody's playing off of each other, you know, because anybody can make an album in their bedroom now, but it has that very certain sound. And I really wanted mine to be specifically like that. So anyway, I didn't have the money, so I raised the money. And then I got put on this show. So it kind of feels really perfect. So that single that I released in June, All I Expected, is off that album. So I have a whole other album, 9 more songs waiting to be released. But I actually just happened to go into the studio about a month ago and I recorded an EP of 6 songs that I did on the show. It's a cover EP of, well, should I give you the track list? I guess I will. Yeah, why not? I recorded Can't Find My Way Home, Fire and Rain, Angel from Montgomery, Closer to Fine, River, and The Wait. So 6 songs that I did on the show, and I recorded it in the studio with like the best band I could find. The bass player from The Voice band even plays on it. So that's going to be released, honestly, in the next, as soon as it's done being mixed, like really quick. So that's probably in the next month it'll be out. So I'm super excited for that, because, you know, the fans have been asking me for those songs I sang on the show. So
I want to get
that and then drop the album. So yeah, lots of things in the vault.
Wow. EP and then album. That's a lot to juggle.
I know.
Also thinking of upcoming gigs as well.
Yeah, I know. Upcoming gigs. I'm trying to think of the next. Well, I'm going to Austin for the first time this weekend, actually. And I'm playing 2 shows there, which is really, really exciting. That's honestly been such a wonderful part of being on the show, because people from all over the country and the world, honestly, have seen me, and they you know, I'm not famous, but in a lot of ways to them, like I am. So somebody's flying me out to Austin and I'm going to play a couple shows at his venues. And I've never been before. So it's going to be an awesome opportunity to like expand my fan base.
Do you have any personal or professional goals as we wrap up our episode?
Personal or professional goals? I mean, I really just want to have a long career of writing great songs and playing music with really fantastic musicians. Like, if I could do that, I'll be happy. I would love to, you know, I want to tour, I want to make records, I want to be in the studio, but really the music is the thing that like makes me the happiest of all, that I hold so precious. Mm-hmm. I just want to be making really, really good music for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's very authentic, very pure, a lot of your works. And just how you eloquently said that, a lot of artists think of like the top, want to be like the top A-list preferred kind of premiere.
Right. I'm down for that too. But
you're down for that too. But you have this very open-minded spirit, which a lot of artists don't have. And I think that's what made you transcend to the top five as well, having that positivity, that mindset, that really go-getter drive that you have in you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Any parting words or any tips for aspiring artists that want to be in your shoes?
Just write every day. Play something every day. Just keep doing it every day, and don't let the ego of it all, the competition of it all get in the way, because that will really get in the way of the music. And always just like hold the music first. It's the most holy part of the whole process. If you forget that, you're lost. But if you don't, you'll make your way through.
Hold the sheet music, I should say, or now we have it all digital now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Lilo, for being on the podcast. Wishing you great success personally and professionally, and safe travels to Austin as well. And looking forward to hearing your EP from The Voice and your newest album coming soon.
Thank you, Forbes. It was so awesome to talk to you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest upcoming episodes that you will here. Email at mediaindustrygurupodcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself, or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.